For many Americans, there's a growing feeling that the current political system isn't working for them. Republicans and Democrats bicker, gridlock ensues, a lot of money gets poured into elections with little change to show for it. Many people are left wondering, are we really any better off?
Well, in response to some of those concerns, a new political movement has launched in Wisconsin and is looking to shake up the status quo, not as a third party, but rather as a movement that works within the two-party system to try and put ordinary people back in charge.
Mike McCabe joins us now. He's the longtime executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, now the founder of Blue Jean Nation, which officially launched here in Wisconsin earlier this month. Mike, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I summed up some of the common criticisms of the way government works in the state, in the nation. As you see it, though, what is wrong with politics today?
I think the central problem is that most people sense that government is working for a few at the expense of the many, and that elected officials are ceaselessly catering to a privileged few and are ignoring the voices of most people. And so your average citizen feels as though their vote doesn't matter much and their voice isn't being heard, their interests aren't being represented. So many people are feeling politically homeless. And that's a condition that, that is not only something that you pick up on just through observation, talking to people, but it shows up in Gallup polling and Pew Research. The percentage of Americans who refuse to identify as either Democrats or Republicans is at its highest level in 3/4 of a century.
Now, you're trying to fill that gap in some ways, as I understand it, with this Blue Jean Nation project. So what's it all about? How are you trying to tackle this problem?
This is about trying to pull people together to create a force strong enough to compel the major parties, or at least one of them, to reconnect with the people in a meaningful way and change their ways. It's been done before. Past generations were successful working within a two-party system in making change. Landscape-altering change has come to our country on multiple occasions. It was plain people who did it, ordinary citizens who banded together. And I think the conditions are such that such an effort is needed again, because so many people are feeling disillusioned and alienated from the major parties and from the political system in general. The level of dissatisfaction is sort of off the charts, and that means that it's time for citizens to do again what has been done successfully in the past.
So some people look at the two-party system, say the two parties are the problem, we need a third party. Why not pursue that avenue?
Well, a lot of people do long for a third party or a fourth or a fifth. The problem is that America has a two-party system. We're not a parliamentary democracy. We don't have a system where competing factions can join forces and form coalition governments. We don't have any of the mechanisms that allow third parties to effectively compete in our elections and vie for real political power. In fact, we've got a system that actively discriminates against third-party creation or formation. And so we start with the realization that the ranks of the politically homeless are large, that people are feeling they're feeling left out, they're feeling let down. But we also start with the realization that we have a two-party system and that we have to work within that system to make change and take some cues from past generations who were successfully able to do just that.
I wanted to ask about that. Are you modeling this somewhat on the progressive movement where you had progressive Democrats and progressive Republicans as almost factions within those two parties?
Well, you know, even the birth of the Republican Party came at a time when the two major parties were the Democrats and the Whigs, and both were basically pro-slavery. There was a growing abolitionist movement. People were feeling politically homeless. They banded together and they shed old labels and they fashioned themselves a new identity. They started calling themselves Republicans. A little over a generation later, you had the progressive movement, and that ended up infiltrating both major parties and transforming both of those major parties. You didn't see the extinction of a major party the way you did with the Whig Party back at the birth of the Republican Party, but you had both major parties adapting to this new progressive movement. It's happened on multiple occasions. Most recently, it really has happened within the Republican Party with the Tea Party movement. That party has been significantly transformed. And the Tea Party movement's not a party at all. It's a brand that has been used to take over the Republican Party and make that party a lot more subservient to the interests of those who hatched the Tea Party movement. So this has happened on multiple occasions. what is missing for so many people is an opportunity to feel like they're authentically being represented by the major parties, and that's a condition that I think cries out for some citizen innovation. And we're trying to do our part here with Blue Jean Nation to give people a vehicle for doing just that.
Talk to Mike McCabe about his project Blue Jean Nation, trying to provide a home for the politically homeless, he says, overcome political dissatisfaction and make government more serviceable to the rank and file American. So suppose somebody out there is listening and says, yeah, that's me. I'm politically homeless. Don't like what the parties are doing. I don't feel like my interests are being met. But so what? How are you going to help me connect with politics? What are you going to do on a practical level?
This is really about helping people pull together at a neighborhood level, for starters. And so, you know, if we're really going to create a Blue Jean Nation, we have to have Blue Jean neighborhoods. We have to have Blue Jean communities and Blue Jean counties. We have to have people in their own backyard pulling together, shedding some old labels, accepting a new identity or fashioning a new identity for themselves, and then using that to try to drive change in the political process. Out of that local organization, that neighborhood-level organization, naturally people will emerge who will be right to be candidates for school board or for city council or county board, eventually state legislature or Congress. And that, when a new breed comes on the political scene and starts to offer itself up as a real alternative within the two-party system, that's what compels major parties to adapt. They either risk losing large numbers of voters to these kinds of citizen insurgencies, or they adapt. They change their ways. And it's happened before. In fact, it's happened many times throughout the course of our country's history. And every time it's happened, you had conditions like today where so many people were feeling alienated from the major parties. They were effectively politically homeless. And then the first step that they took was to shed old labels and kind of do away with the old political vocabulary that was failing them and come up with a new identity for themselves and use that new brand, if you will, as the Tea Party did, to compel change.
Well, I want to talk about that political language a bit. And first, maybe an obvious question, what's the significance of blue jean here, blue jeans?
Well, it's a symbol that is probably as uniting a symbol as you can think of in American society. Everybody's got them. Young people wear them. Old people wear them. People on both coasts, in the North, the South. You can wear them to school now. You never used to be able to do that. And you can wear them to church now, and you never used to be able to do that. Blue jeans are everywhere. And when you think about things that we all have in common, that's about as common a symbol as you can come up with. It also, I think, is a symbol that does a great job of distinguishing what I call commoners, plain people, from the suits on Wall Street or on K Street where all the lobbyists hang out, or the suits on Capitol Hill that are sort of lording over us. It distinguishes the people who are feeling politically homeless from those who are being catered to, the politically privileged. This is an effort, above all else, aimed at fighting political privilege.
And one question you wrote in a recent blog post, a question you get a lot. Okay, this is a reform movement. Is this a liberal reform movement or a conservative reform movement? That's another one of those language issues you want to tackle.
Yeah, you know, those labels are failing us. They are actually dividing people who have an awful lot in common. And they're dividing people who could and should be united simply because people are wearing these labels. Those words don't mean what they used to mean. The word liberal or conservative, they don't mean what they used to mean. They don't even mean what the dictionary says they mean today. It is baggage that people carry, whether they deserve to or not. Those labels load baggage onto people that ends up turning them into enemies in the eyes of people who could be their allies. And when political language has failed Americans before, people got creative and they did away with those labels and they came up with new vocabulary to describe themselves. We desperately need to do that now because there are an awful lot of people who see themselves as enemies. And when you talk to them, they actually have an awful lot of common ground. They agree on way more than they've been trained to think that they do.
Talking right now with Mike McCabe about the new political movement, Blue Jean Nation. He says it's time to put politics back in the hands of regular people, says it's possible to work within the two-party system to make that happen. What do you think? Give a call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Mike McCabe, founder of Blue Jean Nation, a political movement launched here in Wisconsin earlier this month. Their goal, putting regular folks back in charge of politics. You can call in at 800-642-1234. What kind of change are you looking for? Do you think something can be done in the current two-party system? Do you feel politically homeless, unrepresented by the major parties? Call at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Get to your calls in just a moment. But before we do, Mike, I mean, is there a faulty premise here? I mean, is that there's a lot of people feeling disconnected from the parties for similar enough reasons that they can unite? Or is it some people think all the parties are too conservative for them or too liberal, or they all have different single issue things that the parties don't meet their needs? Is this a chaos that you can't really unite in one more or less similar direction?
I think one of the common threads that runs through the disillusionment, and it runs across the political spectrum, is the idea that government is not working for all the people. It's working for a select few, a privileged few. And that they're taking their cues from big donors and the lobbyists, and they're not representing the people. That is a core concern that is unifying.
Let's get to our callers. We've got Charlie on the line in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I must tell you, I find your speaker quite refreshing, and I find it difficult a lot of times that when people talk about conservative or liberal or labels, that there are actually several definite different areas of concern, such as social policy versus tax policy and fiscal policy versus, you know, the size of government type policy. People who would look at how the government is working, say, for a single issue like abortion, when there is really not going to be any change, are then electing policy that it doesn't necessarily serve their interests, such as if you choose a certain person because of one issue, how they vote on the other issues become confusing and muddled, and people are unsatisfied.
Charlie, thanks for the call. So because we've lumped this over here into conservative, this over here into liberal, and a party to match, that a lot of people feel like their needs aren't being met, he says.
Well, these words are failing us. The truth is, people ask me, are you a liberal or a conservative? The honest answer is that I'm a mutt. I'm like most normal people. Normal people aren't purebreds. They're not 100% liberal or 100% conservative. They're a mixture based on what issues you're talking about. And you know, people are complicated. And you know, the truth is, most of us are mutts. But in the political world, they pass themselves off as purebreds. And they say that they're 100% this or 100% that. And I think that's another way that these labels are now failing us. And it's time to do some innovating in that regard.
Thanks for the call. We'll go next to Jim in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
I totally disagree with your speaker. There's been a corporate conservative takeover revolutionizing Wisconsin politics, starting with the Gableman Supreme Court judicial race through last election, in which, with the help of Citizens United and millions of dollars of out-of-state money, has destroyed unions in this state, has destroyed, created an unequal playing field, and now with the 2010 census and the complete gerrymandering of all the political districts in the state of Wisconsin, one political party fights with one hand tied behind its back. People know the values of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, but there is an overwhelming corrupt financial advantage to the Republican Party, where they're even stopping the John Doe investigation and in front of Supreme Court justices who took money from the Wisconsin Club for Growth and will not recuse themselves.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. So he's saying by trying to elide, I guess, these differences, you're ignoring real differences that he says are making a difference in the state for the worse from his perspective.
One of the underlying premises of Blue Jean Nation is that we're at a moment where both major parties are failing us, and they're failing us in different ways. I'm not one of those people who believes the two parties are the same. They're very different, but they're failing us. One of the things I've said frequently is that we've got one party that's scary and another that's scared. And the funny thing about that line is I've used it in every imaginable kind of audience, with every kind of audience. And I've yet to have anybody say which one is which. You know, people instinctively understand what I'm talking about when I say that we've got one party that's scary and another that's scared. And you know, people are sort of fed up with one party let down by the other. They're frustrated. And that's the condition that I describe as being politically homeless. And you know, if we can drive change within one major party, that's going to make the other party have to adapt or adjust. And so I think we start from that premise that we've got both major parties failing us at the moment, and citizens need to take matters into their own hands to right that wrong.
Talking to Mike McCabe about his Blue Jean Nation project. He's the founder of it, an effort to provide a home for the politically homeless, he says, people who aren't feeling represented by either major party or by elected government. Before we get back to callers at 800-642-1234, does this project start off with a set of policy agendas or and platforms on issues, or is this something you want to build from people who join up at the ground up?
Well, you know, people can go to BlueJeanNation.com, our website. We list five aims, and really those aims can even be distilled down to two central thrusts. And one is really trying to fight political privilege, and the other is to deal with the you know, things like the growing income and wealth inequality in America, and the fact that we're really growing apart as a society rather than growing together as we did for decades after World War II in particular. But we've got five aims, and it really does boil down to taking on the extent to which the politically privileged are running our government, and ordinary people are left out in the cold. And so, I invite people to go to that website and take a look at the values that are embedded in this attempt to get citizens back in the driver's seat of our government at a time when both parties are failing us.
Back to our callers now with Dwayne in Middleton. Dwayne, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. First off, I want to say I have a lot of respect for Mike McCabe and all the things he's done over the years, but I do disagree on this issue because you're talking about reforming a broken system. I mean, both of the political parties, we talk about how much they don't work and how much they fight against each other and how they can't get anything done. But then you look at a policy like the National Defense Authorization Act, which had a clause in it which said that the United States government can indefinitely detain American citizens without trial or charge, voted for by both Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin. So, you know, when you got really horrible policies come up for a vote, Democrats and Republicans come together, and I just think we need to completely abolish the Democrats and the Republicans. I don't even know if there's any faith in the electoral system anymore, but if the electoral system is going to work at all, I think then at least we have to promote the Green Party and even the Libertarian Party. Because
Dwayne, I want to get Mike in to respond to that. Beyond hope, he says, effectively, the Democrats and Republicans.
Well, you know, America and our democracy has faced huge threats before. Conditions have been even worse than they are today at other points in our nation's history. And citizens found the capacity to make the political system change, to reconnect with ordinary people. I refuse to believe that there's something different about us now or something wrong with us that makes us less capable of change than past generations were. In a lot of ways, we've got much more going for us than past generations did. And they were able to make change within a two-party system. I have great faith that we can do that again. But I think the caller's comments underscore the extent to which people get it. They understand what a crisis we face and how sick our political system has really become. So if people are content with the major parties as they are, we pose no threat to the major parties. If I'm right, and people are as deeply disturbed and disillusioned with the current state of our political system, then we as citizens need to take that and work to put that to use and make something better and different.
Do you worry that people are so disillusioned, maybe cynical, that not only will they reject the parties, the two major parties, but political participation at all, including an effort like yours?
Powerlessness is rampant. People are feeling, you know, it's not apathy that I encounter. People care deeply. It's not that they don't care, but they're feeling very powerless. What we're trying to do with Blue Jean Nation is give people a reason to regain their faith in their own capacity to have political influence.
You know, from the perspective of somebody in a party, they may be hearing this thinking, wait, we have firmly held ideological beliefs. Yeah, there's some money behind them, but these are things we hold dear, we think are important. You know, we're just as valid as the thing you're trying to do, Mike.
Oh, and again, if people are satisfied with either the Democrats or the Republicans today, what I would say is I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you have a political home, that you have that you belong to a household that you want to live in. Problem is that so many Americans now don't feel comfortable in either of those households. They're really sickened by what's going on in our political system. So we're trying to do something about that.
Briefly, Mike, looking maybe 5 years ahead, what does success look like at that stage for Blue Jean Nation?
It totally depends on how the parties react. Do they look at how people are feeling? Do they respond to the frustration among common folks and change their ways? Or do they dig in their heels and do nothing? Where this will go in the future totally depends on how the major parties respond to this crisis.
Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Mike McCabe. He's the founder of the new political movement started here in Wisconsin, Blue Jean Nation.